We're doing Amunavad, and we're discussing Avram Avinu. We're up to Avram Avinu. We spoke about Noach a little bit last time. We started with Bria Se'olam. We spoke about how the world was created for Kodesh Baruch Hu to be Meitiv. That's how we know it's all good. Because Olam Chesed... Thank you. Hashem created the world for chesed, so if that's why Hashem created the world, then it's all good. That's how we know that everything is for the good, but there's also midas adin, midas harachim, which kind of like gets sprinkled in afterwards. That's when the world created. We spoke about Noach, how people have different degrees of emunah. Noach was a maimin. Ve'eno maimin. Close. He was a maimin, the eno maimin. So you see, there's different degrees of amuna. Now we start, we get to the first person now that really personifies amuna, and that's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first one that actually was hikir esboiroi. He came to it on his own. Avram Avinu said, it just makes no sense. Rabboisai, it makes no sense. They've been trying for thousands of years, psychologists, doctors, blashmad, scientists, to try to explain the world that it exists without a creator. It makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't make any sense. This ridiculous idea of mutations and all this nuts, it's like humorous that there are extremely intelligent people that sound like morons. They literally sound like morons. What does that mean? It started off with just, you know, two cells that just started mutating. Well, where'd the cells come from? Oh, there was an empty space, and it just, like, left a gap, and there was, because of that, there was gases, and that caused the cell. What do you mean empty space and gases and gap? It makes no sense. It's totally ridiculous. It reminds me of a story. There's a book by someone named Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is known to be one of the most brilliant men alive. Any of you ever heard of him?
Sure.
He sits in the chair, the Einstein chair of science in Cambridge University. And he looks a little bit like that. Thank you. Yeah, he has some sort of debilitating disease. Anyway, in his introduction of his book... So he wrote a book called Brief History of Time, where he tried to explain how the world was created. Same idea. His introduction to the book, he talks about a legend about, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was Galileo. Well, Galileo is explaining that the world is round, and it's suspended. And there was a lady who was there who said that everybody knows that the world is actually standing on the back of a large elephant. To which Galileo said to the lady, that's very clever, but what's the elephant standing on? She said, the elephant's standing on a turtle. So he said, what's the turtle standing on? To which she said, young man, it's turtles all the way down. Turtle on turtle on turtle on turtle. That sounds ridiculous, right? That sounds like that's foolish. The whole idea of this concept that the world just evolved evolution is ridiculous. Where did it evolve out of? So they write these books and they make all these things about black holes and space and time and blah, shma, and it all sounds, it's all ridiculous. It's just like you're making it sounds more and more preposterous because it's like more sophisticated and more sophisticated. It doesn't take much. Avram Avinu just said, like, okay, this can't be that just happened on its own. It's that simple. And the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in his Kovetz Mamoros, he says, listen, how can you expect a child of 13 years old to have emunah? If Aristotle, Socrates, Galileo, all of these very sophisticated, very intelligent sounding people all didn't figure it out. You got this 13-year-old little yeshiva guy, you know, and he's barely exposed to anything. And how's he supposed to know that Hashem created the world? To which Rabbi Chanan answered, sounds like a good kasha. He says, not only is emunah not a hard mitzvah, it's one of the easiest mitzvahs around. Just don't get convoluted and polluted with all this ridiculous banter of all these people that say, just look at the way, how did this happen on its own? That's nuts. That's crazy. Makes no sense. This whole thing just happened. Of course Hashem created the world.
Yes, they don't want to keep the Torah, so he make up a way.
So Rabbi Chanan says, a poor person has an agenda, why he doesn't want to keep the Torah? So of course he can make up all different types of crazy things. So in other words, the point is these people don't even have a perspective. There's nothing really to talk to. They could talk to the blue in the face. They could come up with this. They could come up with that. They could see all different types of things which they're trying to say. But it all boils down to one thing. They reject the concept of there being a God. They're predicated on that premise. We start off with one thing: there's no God. So how do we work this out? So we'll just, you know, try to like come up with some like idea of survival of the fittest. So there's mutations. They came up with this idea. I don't know if any of you have ever studied the idea of Darwin, that the survival of the fittest and evolution is all mutations. It's strange because I don't know if you ever saw mutants. Now I'm not talking about like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or there's something else that's more popular. Mutants, isn't there like a movie about mutants or something like that? Mutants and superheroes and stuff like that.
Oh, the Avengers?
Avengers, X-Men, stuff like that, okay? That's all very nice for the movies, but have you ever seen a mutant that actually has like improved because of his mutation? Most mutants look something like this. No, not the Hulk. No, don't do that. Looks a little bit more like Stephen Hawking, he looks like. Most mutants look a little bit weird. That's a mutant. Mutants look deformed. My brother was born with 6 fingers.
Same brother?
The smart one?
The brother who spoke here. Not the smart one. No, the other one. One got extra brains, the other one got extra fingers. He was born with 6 fingers. That's pretty cool, right? But his 6 finger didn't work. I don't think you're going to find anyone that has 6 fingers that work. You'll find people that have 2 fingers, right? That's a mutation. Or you find my brother had a dead finger. It wasn't like a, I mean, it was basically like a finger. If you ever meet him, you could ask him to show you his bumps on the both of his, like over here, they cut them off right when he was born. Crazy, right? But, okay, this whole thing is ridiculous. He has a bump now. It's just a bump. They cut it off right when he was born. But you're not going to find anyone who's walking around with 2 fingers, with 6 fingers, and is like, you know, is like super at basketball. You know what I mean? It's like, that just doesn't exist. We don't know of any mutations that are productive. This whole theory is garbage, baloney, ridiculous. Ridiculous. That man was a fish and became a man because of a mutation. It's like, and there's absolutely zero type of scientific data that supports this at all. It's crazy. But if people want to believe crazy things, they do. Avraham Avinu was the first one who actually was hikir es boiroi, believed that Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "You believe in me," so therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu showed himself, he revealed himself to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the beginning of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emuna is Avraham Avinu. Yeah.
He's like the role model of Emuna. Isn't that kind of question why he twice asked Hashem to like show him? He didn't believe Hashem?
So it's a funny thing because you find very often that a person's biggest nisoyon is his tafkin in the world. Avraham Avinu is always, so the fact that he's called to task for that is because that's his thing. You often find that. We'll have to go through it.
It's a straight message from Hashem. Like Hashem told him.
So, okay, so you have to figure out how he fell short at all. But the fact that he fell short in that is because that was his midah. Yosef HaTzadik was about Shemir Sabris. And Yosef HaTzadik, Eshes Potiphar. It's always that way. It's the thing that you are the most, this is really what defines you, is the thing where your challenge in life is going to be. Akoponim, that's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu in this week's parasha is we're introduced to Avraham Avinu with his nisayon. His nisayon is Lech lecha me'artzecha, me'latecha me'beis avicha, el ha'aretz, asher areka, which means
the land I will show you.
Land I will show you, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, you know where you're going? No. You're just going to follow me. Now what does that mean? That means that Avraham Avinu had what's called the moon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you tell me where I'm going. I don't need to know where I'm going. I'm just following you. A lot of times we have a tendency to try to understand things. We want to understand them. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you do not have to understand. You have emunah in me, so then I'll tell you where you're going. That's the beginning of Avraham Avinu's journey. Is Lech Lecha El Ha'aretz Asher Areka. You're going into the darkness. You're going into the wilderness. You're going with destination unknown. And Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He is going to get you where you have to get to. And that's what Avraham Avinu was. He had complete Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we speak about the Akedah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to shecht your son. Now think about how crazy this is. The Ramban writes about the following thing. Avraham Avinu understood a lot, right? He understood that it's impossible for a person to be a carbon. What's a carbon? Let's try to talk about it for a second. What's a carbon? What does that mean, a sacrifice?
Sacrifice.
So what the idea behind it is, it's a what?
Instead of us.
It's a substitute. So can one person be a substitute for another person? No, because that's because you're you and I'm me. I could have an animal substitute for a person. Animal doesn't have bechira, so you're instead of me. But if you have bechira and I have bechira, so how could you substitute me? You're you and I'm me. So this doesn't make any sense. So take your son as a carbon. I don't get it. And Avraham Avinu's whole life was going around preaching and saying, I believe in the one God who tells us that we don't have to kill our children. It's the God of peace. It's the God of love. It's the God of happiness. And then he's been telling all these people that. And he's starting a revolution, and it's great. A lot of people are following him on Twitter. He's got all these people, you know, tons of them. And then all of a sudden, it's going to go out, Avraham Avinu killed his son. It's going to ruin everything. What? So there are times that people stopped and people came whenever exactly it happened, but this was Avraham Avinu's, this is what he was preaching his entire life, right? And now you come and you tell him the exact opposite of what he's been preaching. Avraham Avinu has been waiting for his son. He's been begging for a son. Hashem says, you're getting a son. Now he's got to kill him. As a matter of fact, Avraham Avinu was on his way to shechting Yitzchak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, the Malach HaMavis comes and tries to makes himself look like a little kid. And he says to Yitzchak, where are you going? He's like, I'm going for a walk with my dad. He's like, you know he's going to kill you. You know he's going to kill you. I mean, he's got a knife there and everything. Where's the korban, huh? And Yitzchak didn't budge. We'll get back to Yitzchak later. Then he goes to Avram. And he comes and he appears as an old man. He comes as a kid. So then, if he comes as an old man to Yitzchak, Yitzchak's not going to talk to him. He comes as a kid to Avram. So he comes, you know, he's like man to man. He comes to Avram and he says, where you going? He goes, I'm going, my son. Yeah, he was like trying to be very curt about it, the Medrash says. I'm going, whatever. He goes, you're going to shech your son, right? He said, didn't Hashem tell you, ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazera? How are you shechting your son? Hashem told you that he's going to be your offspring, your descendant. He's going to... The Medrash says, Avraham said, af al pikein. What does af al pikein mean? What's the answer? Hold on a second. Sudden frecht get the kashas. I have a kasha. It's a great kasha. Avraham says, af al pikein. I don't need to know the answer to the question. I don't have the answer. I have a munah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comes, how does that work? Some people say, okay, you're like blind, you know, just following. Religion is the opium of the masses and all different types of things. Our religious people are just all so ridiculous and they're just following people blind, but it's totally inaccurate. I'll explain to you why. When we say we have emunah, we follow blindly, which is true. Avraham Avinu followed blindly the Akedah. Lech lecha, Eretz Asher Erecha, blindly, don't know where I'm going, I'm doing it. There's one thing that we have to know rock solid, and once we know that, we can have emunah. You have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yadata es Hashem. You know Hashem, then you don't have to know anything else. Once you have, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God, and you know that the God created the world, he's good and all that stuff. The rest of it, God, you know a lot better than I do. You know a lot more than I do. You don't have to try to explain it to me. I know I'm limited. Maybe I'll never understand it. Maybe I will. It'll be great if I do, but maybe I won't. I don't need to understand to be able to do it. I'm going to give you a mashal, how we all do this in our lives. If a person has an accountant, so how many people, when the accountant does their tax return, tells their accountant, okay, I want you to sit here and explain to me exactly what you did and why this is considered a tax write-off and why you filed this way. And I don't know if you know about all this very complicated tax laws in America. So, you know, and it takes accountants months to be able to do this. Does anyone sit there and say, okay, until you explain to me why you filed this way and not that way, so I'm not submitting? People don't do that. What people do is they make sure they get a real good accountant. He's got to have a great reputation. You got to know what his credentials are. Once you know his credentials and his reputation, you go with it. Person goes to a doctor. So people don't insist that the doctor explains to him, you know, I'd like you to take this antibiotic. Well, why should I take this antibiotic? Because it's going to make you better. Well, how's it going to make you better? What do you mean? Well, it's because you have a low blood count, red blood cells, white blood cells, and this is going to, you're not going to do that. He's like, okay, you want me to like describe to you now, you know, 6 years of medical school in just like one doctor visit? It just doesn't work that way. You get yourself a good doctor. That's why they put all their plaques on the wall, you know, Harvard University, and they got like, this is to certify. They're like trying to convince you, you can trust me. We all do that all the time. Everyone has emunah in levels. But if a person really knows, because that's because not every doctor, he might even if he went to Harvard, he could mess up. Right? And even his accountant went to, you know, whatever, Wharton Business School, he could mess up. God doesn't mess up. So if you believe in God, that's all you got to know. You don't have to know anything else. I thought Pekin. Doesn't make any sense to me. You're right. But it has to make sense, because I know one thing. I know Hashem loves me and cares about me, and that's it. And that's Avraham Avinu. And that's having emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, true that for many of us it's a challenge, because we're not ready for Avraham Avinu's Nisayon of the Akedah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of like gives us, we're going to call them lights along the path. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us little messages like, I'm with you, I'm here, it's good. You know, everything you figure out, you have all these Hashgacha Pratis stories, you know what I mean? Like, and everything is like, you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything, and really it's all for the good. And all those are there in order for us to be able to build ourselves. We're talking about trying to like build our emunah. Avraham Avinu, by the time of the Akedah at least, he also was a process till he got to the Akedah. It wasn't his first Nisayan. And I'm positive Avraham Avinu would not have passed if it was his first Nisayan. He wasn't there. He needed another Nisayan, a smaller Nisayan. Lech lecha me'artecha. Okay, it's a Nisayan, don't get me wrong. It's a big Nisayan. For us, that would be huge. It's like, leave your family, leave everything behind, just go, and I'll tell you where. That was a big Nisayan for Avraham Avinu, but it was Avraham Avinu passed flying colors, and that lifted his level of Amunah, and then it lifted his level until he was ready for the Akedah. All these things, these are all steps. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us often in our lives, he gives us assistance. It's just a question of we have to kind of interpret it properly. We have to be able to translate it in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building us. A Nisayan is there for us to be built through a Nisayan. And if we interpret it the wrong way, or we don't process it, or our antennas are not up, we're not even getting the communication at all. So then we're not ready. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Okay, I gave you practice, and then you're going into the big leagues, and then you're not ready because you didn't warm up." Everyone knows when you're going to play the big game, you have to warm up. I mean, aside from warm up, you got to like practice. You have to have like, you know, you have the whole season until we're, you know, we got everything down. We got our, you know, everyone's working together and everything works. But a person just goes into a big game without being, you know, without any training, without any practice, without anything, for sure he's going to be at a tremendous disadvantage. He's not ready for that. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us all this yinus. But he also gives us all little lights. He gives us a little, every once in a while, a little kiss, which is to be able to like build us up, lift us up, and see, you know, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, I see how everything works out for the best, I see I just have to leave my things in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, V'ayar Elokim es kol asher asah, v'hine tov ma'od. What would you say is tov ma'od? Really good. Tov ma'od? What would you say? Give me something. You want to call something Tov Ma'od. It's really Snyder. Tov Ma'od, right there. There it is. Tov Ma'od, very good at making imitations of interesting looking people. Anyone have a description of what's Tov Ma'od? What would you call Tov Ma'od? Mine Tov Ma'od. Better than excellent. But what would you say is better than expected? Says the Medrash, Yisurim v'chaloyim roim, which is pain and sickness. It's Tov Ma'od. Very good. Why is pain and sickness very good? Everything else is toif. V'aralikim ki toif. V'aralikim is kolosh asamine toif moid. Very good. Well, it's very good. Sickness is very good. Sickness may be a little good. I mean, there's like a silver lining in your sickness. Remember we spoke about the silver lining in your cloud? It's like, it's a cloud. It's dark. But there's a silver lining in the cloud. It's okay. It's also, why is it toif moid? Why is sickness very good? So Surly Snyder said the answer. It's based on something I've heard. Hirsch said, what does Toiv Ma'od mean? It means it's better than expected. It doesn't mean it's very good. It means more than you expected. If a person gets a 98 on a test, so is that Toiv Ma'od?
Depends
for who. If the guy's been acing every single test, he's got 100 up until now, and for some reason he was slacking today and he got a 98, Toiv. But if the guy's been getting a 55 and every single test he's been having a really hard time, and this time he mamish worked his brains out and he got a 98, that's Toiv Ma'od. Why? Because it's better than expected. You look at Chalei Ra'im, you just look at sickness, you look at pain, and you're like, this is not good. This is not good. This is bad stuff, right? Okay, maybe there's a little good over here, a little bit. But Hashem sees everything. And if you put it all together, the entire picture, it's kol asher asa, v'hine toiv ma'oy. There's something there that's going to be better than expected. Sickness, pain, suffering. Those are all things that we don't understand why they're good. And we maybe will never understand because we'll never see the whole picture. But there are things that happen. And I want to give you one small story for those of you that are in competitive sports. I heard the story from the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Tiferes Yerushalayim, otherwise known as TJ, Rabbi Greenwald. Rabbi Greenwald has boys that play in the football league. And once upon a time, his team was very competitive. I don't know what it is now or not, yes or no, but it was a competitive team. They actually were in the championships. And they were down by a touchdown. And so it was. The quarterback goes back for a pass. He's got a receiver wide open in the end zone. He throws the ball. The receiver's right there. They're going to tie the game or win it, whatever it is. And he drops the ball. They lost the game. They lost the championship. Now, this is the big game. And he told me this boy particularly, who was a very good athlete, was also very vain. In other words, he cared a lot about how people thought about him, you know, and this was really demoralizing. I mean, in front of all this whole yeshiva and his friends and everything, he just dropped the ball and lost the game. He said he would even be, this is what the Rosh Yeshiva told me, he'd even be in the airport. And said, oh, you're the guy that dropped the ball. It's like, oh, it was so like hard for him to deal with. But he told me this boy, he was very vain. Everything in his life was like, what do other people think about me? You know, it was like very important for him that he should have status. Right? And it was holding him back from like really building himself as a person. He said this incident, years later, was what changed his life. He said the boy is such a successful, such a beautiful, like accomplished person now. Then he was a good ball player. Now he built himself, and that dropping of the ball was the best thing that happened to him in his life. That was Toiv Ma'od. At the moment, he was depressed out of his box. Right? He was embarrassed. He was upset. And it could be a Kodesh Baruch sent a Malach to just swat the ball out of his hands. Could be. Because that's the best thing that happened to him. That's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good. All you have to believe is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Even the Akedah, it says, Avraham Avinu went and did that Akedah b'simcha. He was happy doing that Akedah. How could you be happy? Because if you know that everything is good, you don't understand why. But I know it's all good. The Pasuk says, Samachta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha, which means as long as you know you're in front of Hashem, you're happy. Samachta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. The one thing which we have to figure out, two things we have to figure out. One thing is, what's with death? We know people mourn death. There's mourning periods in death.
You have to.
Because you have to, but are you supposed to be happy?
Sad.
What? So apparently death is like the exception to the rule. Everything, you're happy. Happy, happy, happy. Death, sad. Avilus. So something about death, which is like not regular, death was... Adam Rishon brought death. Hashem didn't bring death. There was no death. It wasn't supposed to be death. Death was a mistake. We're like, we're not supposed to have this. Everything wrong in this world is really death. So we'll have to get back to the other question, which we want to discuss is, so why do we daven for anything? Hashem, it's all good. You know why. This is great. This is wonderful. So what do you want change for? Let's just leave it the way it is. You're davening. You want something to change. Obviously, what's with the tefillah? How does that work? We'll continue with that. Bezrat Hashem, hopefully, next time. Have a good day, everybody.